honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, wrapping up a two-part conversation with a member of the Dutch Underground in World War II, 90-year-old Dutch Fryhoff of Hanford, California. If you missed last week's episode and his memories of life under Nazi occupation, you can pull that up at hometownheroesradio.com.
Well, I've got a few more questions for you. And if there's anything that I didn't ask you about, feel free to add. Can you help us understand what America means to you? I mean, I see you flying that flag out there. I'm sure there's a reason. What does America represent in your mind?
It was the biggest thing when I became a citizen. I went to citizenship school. My whole family did. We went to Mrs. Drennan taught us at the high school. Two nights a week, we went to citizenship. We had to learn how to read, how to speak, and how to write English. I mean, and it was serious. There was all kinds of them in our class. There was Portuguese, quite a few Portuguese. Yeah. There was some Spanish and some other people, Germans too. And we really put all our effort in it to do that. And then we had to learn the Constitution backwards and forwards. Mm-hmm. I mean, we really did. And then we had to pass an exam. And we did pass the exam. And then it wasn't just, we'll give it to you anyway. No, there was some people had to redo it because they didn't know it. My folks, you know, and they never did get used to the culture over here. In Holland, it is more closer. And here it is more spread out. You know what I'm saying? Well, on Christmas was a big thing over here, and we didn't send the class until December the 5th. That's when we have our stuff for pastries and color books and stuff like that for the kids. That's on December the 5th. That's the saint out of Spain. He has the rod and the big cap on his head and on Zwarte Piet, those were two black guys, daughter guys were with him, and they were his helper with a sack on their back, and if you had been not nice, then you wouldn't get candy, you know. So that was on December, still that way. But I didn't know Christmas tree, I didn't know what a Christmas tree was, you know. But the thing, man, when we became citizens, oh boy, that was just we wrote to Holland about us, sent pictures. We had pictures in the paper. I got pictures from the paper and everything in my citizenship package. I have it all in the office, and then that was one of the most, because before we left, that was the most unbelievable thing for anybody to go to America. I mean, you were looked up to, man. You're going to America. Oh, that's really something. After we came here, we went to Salt Lake. I was working two jobs. I worked at Helmer Schoker. I went to work over there at 7:30 in the morning, and I worked till 2 o'clock. And then at 3 o'clock, we left for Hill Air Force Base in Ogden, and I worked as a landing gear inspector, as a civilian personnel. And I was really the base commander he used. I was on his throne about this tall. And they were testing the jets over there. They had to build a wall because it was blowing the windows out of the administrative building at Hill Air Force. No, true. The Korean War was still going on. Full blast. Anyway, it was quite a job. I got that because of a Dutchman. But anyway, I had a terrific job. And we rode every day in a carpool. So that those boss masks, his nephew was a minister here in Hanford. And he said, you know, you probably should go to Hanford, see what it is like. I was the only driver. I had a 41 Plymouth, but by now I had gotten a 46 Pontiac with an Indian head lit up in the hood, 6-cylinder, 3 on the column. I was the only driver. So it was a weekend, a holiday weekend, we drove to Hanford. I did all the driving, drove to Hanford, and there was all two-lane roads, right smack through Las Vegas. The road went right through the city of sin. Anyway, we came into Hanford, and of course, you know, that was right up my dad's alley. So we were going to move. We moved to Hanford. Now, quickly, and as a real bad story, we had a Pontiac, all 8 of us. I'm the driver, and a shepherd dog, a German shepherd. We had gotten as a present from one of the Baptists, gave us a German shepherd dog, beautiful dog. So my Uncle Leonard, who was lined out the Pacific Fruit trucks, and he told us, he says, now, after you go through Vegas, there is a road, it's a dirt road, and there's a sign, and it goes way out in the desert, and he said, that's what our trucks use overnight. He said, they drive in there, and there's no thieves or none, and they drive in there quite a ways, and then they turn around. He says, now mark it all out, that's what you're going to have to do. So, I'm driving. We went to the Army Surplus Store. Now, I didn't know what an Army Surplus Store was, but my Uncle Leonard went in there and got those heavy Army blankets, you know, those dark green heavy Army wool blankets, two water bags hanging on the front of the Pontiac, you know what I'm talking about, yeah. Water bags on the bumper, all kinds of food wrapped up, and there was an old-fashioned ice chest, and they went to the church, and they had an refrigerator what made ice. We didn't have that, but the church had it, so they got ice to get, and was not very much. Anyway, we started out. Now, this is true. We got into Las Vegas, and it was already dark. And you went right smack to the main drag in Las Vegas, and all the lights of all the casinos. And my mom, she was very believing Christian, and she prayed a lot and learned us how to pray. And she says, okay, she says, Leonard is the only one, Lane, who can open his eyes. The rest of us have to all close our eyes because the devil lives here. And we sure don't want to see him, or we don't want him to get in our car. And we parked the Pontiac, and Mom and the girls were in the car. The dog was tied to the back bumper, and Dad and us, we had a sleeping bag. And those were Army sleeping bags. I never knew about a sleeping bag, but Uncle Leonard had shown us how to use it and zip it up and all that. And we were all spread out there on the Army canvas. Laid it on the ground first because there were scorpions out there. About 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what time it was. I'm telling you, Paul, we woke up. The earth shook. We couldn't even stand up. There was a wind that was so strong that we were covered with dirt, dust, and tumbleweeds. There was a ball of fire in the sky, and we couldn't even look into it. Mom is on her cry, and she's praying to Jesus. Because we thought the world came to an end. Now, this is a true story. The dog broke loose, and he took off, and we couldn't move, and we couldn't even stand up. The ground shook so bad, we could not stand up. And the sky, this big ball, I never forget it. We got to our senses, and the morning started to break. We were filthy dirty, and we packed up everything, and we drove down the road a little ways. And it was a service station with the hand pumps, Shell. All the windows were blowing out, and there was hundreds of chickens dead, all laying against the fence. And there was two people there, a man and a wife, older people, and they lived upstairs. We stopped, and they had been ordered to leave because they were going to have the first above-ground atomic explosion. That's what we went through. They were just beyond themselves. All the glass was out of the windows. The doors were broken down. There was hundreds of chickens from the wind all killed against the fence. She had a wood stove, and she hit it with water, and she washed it with liquid soap. Really, I still remember it. Mm-hmm. She was an older lady. And then he hand-pumped fuel, and it was 18 cents a gallon into the car. And you know, later on, Dad died of it.
You're saying he died from radiation exposure?
Later on, yeah. I don't think Dad washed himself very good, you know. He was an old Dutchman, and the bathing was not all that number top. But, you know, we in Holland, we had a big tub, and we had a little load against the house. And Mom used to heat water in the wood stove. And then once a week, we took a bath. Boys went first, and then the girls. And on the curls, we so bad, the mom had to scoop them off, add hot water, because it took a long time to heat the hot water on the stove. Well, anyway, come back at this. We arrived in Hanford. Then later on, Don Forsyth had the insurance agency, and they had a home in New Mexico. He was friends with some of those professors, and we got a trip to the hill, a secret place where they developed the atom bomb, you know. Mm-hmm. And we went up there, and we were the guests of the principal, or whatever, the dean of the university. The hour and the pictures were right there from the explosion. We were there, and they had several hundred guys, army guys, with special masks and special shields. Oh, and the cloud went over St. George, Utah. It killed up, I forgot how many hundred sheep it killed, because that cloud blew over St. George, Utah. And that's all documented. That got an immune thing. And it was from radiation. He lost his eyesight. And then finally, he lost all his circulation. Dr. Kerr took one of his legs off. I was there with him, and he had Dutch nurse in the hospital because he didn't speak English.
And I'm sure we could tell a lot of stories about racing and working on cars. And I'm just wondering now, I know you're still going, you're still wholesaling cars and working on them and all that. But at age 90, is there something that you look back on and you say, you know, that's what I'm most proud of?
I was married for 66 years to May, and we raised a family, and I miss her. But she's in heaven. Her soul went to Jesus, so I'm okay with that. And I found a friend, a Dutch gal. Her folks were born and raised in Holland, and so were her grandparents. She's from Ripon, and her husband was my friend of all things. We run around together over here in Hanford, Bill Blanken, and she married him, and they were married for 63 years, I believe. May died in February, and he died 2 months later, and we're kind of friends. But I look back, you know, and I can tell you this. For sure, and I tell that to the whole world. I was poor. My folks were poor. I always took care of them, because since I was a little kid, know what to do. The Dutch thing is, and they drain that in you with all their might. You are the oldest. Jij bent de oudste. Jij bent verantwoordelijk. You are responsible for all your brothers and sisters. They had a free right. I was the oldest, and I don't feel bad about it or nothing. But it kind of made you a little bossy because it was drilled into you. You know what I'm saying? That's the truth.
Quite a journey Dutch Fryhoff has been on over the last 90 years. Don't forget to check out the video at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. You'll see a souvenir that he's held on to from the celebration of Holland's liberation 78 years ago. I want to say a special thank you to loyal Hometown Heroes listener Patty Briney for letting me know about Dutch and his unique story. And one final reminder, this coming Thursday, December 7th, that's Pearl Harbor Day. So find a commemoration in your community that you can be a part of. And if you can't, perhaps just pause that day to remember the over 2,400 Americans who perished on that day of infamy. We're going to talk more about that next time on Hometown Heroes, where we try to keep at least this one important reality in view. Freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.